Me would he bless? Asked Jacob, losing color. Me? And not Esau? The in him, said she impatiently. It is not a time for quibbling. Speak not, nor seek to reason, but do as it is commanded thee, that no wrong may happen, and no error come to pass. What is the command of my little mother, from whom I have my life, as at the time when I was still within her? Jacob asked. Hearken, she said. He hath ordered him to slay and make him a savory meat to strengthen him for the blessing. That canst thou do quicker and better than he. Go then to the flock, take two kids, kill them and bring them. Of the best parts I will make for the father a meal such that he will leave none for thee. Away! Jacob began to tremble. He did not cease to tremble unto the end. At times he had the greatest trouble to control the chattering of his teeth. He said, Merciful mother of men! As the word of a goddess is thy word to me, yet what thou sayest is more dangerous than can be told. Esau is hairy all over, and thy child is smooth, with but little exception. If now our Lord lay hold upon me and feel my smoothness, how shall I stand before him? As though I would deceive him, surely, and I should have, instead of his blessing, his curse straightway upon my head. Art again at thy hair splitting? She hectored him. Upon me be the curse. I will see to it. Away and fetch the kids. A mistake is in act to be made. He ran. He hastened to the slope near the tents where the goats were pastured, seized two of the young kids as they gambolled about their mother, and cut their throats, calling to the goatherd that they were for the mistress. He let their blood run out before the Lord, flung them over his shoulder by the hind legs, and went home, his heart thumping. The little heads hung down behind with their small curling horns and cleft snouts, their eyes glazing. So early sacrificed to so great an end. Rebecca stood waiting. She nodded. Quick, said she. All is ready. There was a hearth built of stones under her roof, and a fire burnt under the brazen pot, and all the gear was there for the cooking. His mother took the kids and began hastily to skin and cut them up. She moved about the blazing hearth, large and capable, fork in hand, stirred and seasoned, and during all this there was silence between the two. But while the dish was cooking, Jacob saw how she took out of her clothes press garments which lay there folded, shirt and smock, Esau's festal garments, which she kept for him, as Jacob remembered, going pale again. Then he saw her cut up into strips and pieces with the knife the skins of the kids, which were wet inside and sticky with blood, and he shuddered at the sight. But Rebecca bade him take off the long smock with half-sleeves, which was at that time his daily wear, and drew over his smooth and shivering arms the short shift, and then the fine coat of blue and red wool, which left one shoulder bare. Then she said, Come! And while her lips moved in murmured words, and the frown stood out on her brow, she put on him the pieces of skin, everywhere where he was bare and smooth, on neck and arms, on his shanks, and on the backs of his hands, and bound them fast with thread, although they were sticky and clung of themselves, most unpleasantly. She murmured, I cover the child, I cover the youth. Changed be the child, changed the youth by the skin, by the fell. And again, I cover the child, I cousin the Lord shall touch, the father shall eat, the brothers of the deep shall be made to serve thee. Then with her own hands she washed his feet, as she had done when he was small, took anointing oil that smelt of the fields and the fragrance of the fields, which was Esau's oil, and anointed his head and his newly washen feet, and as she did so, muttered through her clenched teeth, I anoint the child, I anoint the stone, the blind shall eat. At thy feet must fall the brethren of the deeps. Then she said, It is finished. He stood up, clumsy and altered by his strange disguise, with his arms and legs stuck stiffly out, and his teeth a chatter. Meanwhile she dished up the savory meat, with wheaten bread and golden clear oil to dip it in, and a jug of wine, gave the whole into his hands, and said, Now go thy ways. And Jacob went, laden with the meal, awkward and straddling in his fear lest the hatefully sticky skin slip awry under the cords. His heart beat hard, his face was screwed up, and his eyes were on the ground. Many of the household saw him as he passed through the court, held up their hands and wagged their heads. They clucked with their tongues and kissed their fingertips and said, Lo, the master! He came before his father's tent, put his mouth to the curtain, and spoke, Here am I, my father. May thy servant lift his foot to enter unto thee? Out of the depths of the tent came Isaac's fretful voice, But who art thou? Art thou not a thief, and the son of a thief, that thou comest before my tent and sayest, It is I? For anyone can say I, but all depends upon who saith it. Jacob answered, and his teeth did not chatter, because he clenched them, It is thy son who hath said I, for I have hunted and killed for thee to eat. Well and good, answered Isaac then. Come thy ways in. Then Jacob entered into the twilight of the tent, at the back of which ran a covered clay ledge, and Yitzchak lay upon it, wrapped in his mantle, and his head elevated upon a headrest with a bronze half-ring, and with the pledgets over his eyes. He asked again, Who art thou then? And Jacob answered in a failing voice, I am Esau the hairy, thy elder son, and I have done as thou hast commanded. Sit up then, my father, and strengthen thy soul, for here is the meat. But Isaac did not yet sit up. He asked, How so soon hast thou found game, and so quickly brought it within the range of thy bow? The Lord, thy God, he hath given me good hunting, answered Jacob, and his voice died away on some of the syllables. However, he had said, Thy God, speaking for Esau, whose God was not the God of Isaac. But how is it then with me? Asked Isaac again. For thy voice is uncertain, Esau, my eldest son, yet it sounds to me like the voice of Jacob. Then Jacob knew not what to say for fear, and stood quaking. But Isaac spoke with mildness. Yet often are the voices of brothers alike, and words come with the same sounds out of their mouths. Come hither, that I may feel thee with my seeing hands, whether thou art Esau, my eldest son, or no. Jacob obeyed. He set down his burdens, came close, and offered himself to be felt. And when he was near, he saw that his father had bound the pledgets to his head with a cord, that they should not fall off when he sat up, just as Rebekah had secured upon himself the hateful skins. Isaac felt about a little in the air with his fingers spread out before he touched Jacob. Then the lean white hands found him out and felt him over his neck and arms where no garment was, on the backs of his hands and down his legs, everywhere touching the skins of the kids. Yea, said he, these are thy hairy limbs and Esau's red fleeces. I see them with my seeing hands, and must be convinced. The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Art thou then my very son Esau? And he said, Thou seest, and sayest it. Then give me to eat, said Isaac, and he sat up, with his mantle hanging down over his knees. And Jacob took the dish and crouched down at his father's feet and held out the meat. But first Isaac bent over with his hands on Jacob's skin-covered hands and smelt of the dish. It is good, he said. Thou hast prepared it well. It is in sour cream, as I have commanded, and there is in it cardamom and thyme and somewhat of caraway. And he named the names of other things that were therein, which he discerned by his sense of smell. So he nodded, and fell to, and ate of the dish. He ate it all. It took a long time. "Hast thou bread likewise, Esau, my son?" he asked as he chewed. "Wheaten cakes and oil of a surety," answered Jacob. He broke off some of the bread, dipped it in the oil, and brought it to his father's mouth. The old man chewed and took more meat, stroking his beard and nodding his satisfaction, while Jacob looked up in his face and watched him while he ate. It was very thin and transparent, this face, with fine hollows in the cheeks, and a sparse gray beard springing from them, a thin high nose with delicate nostrils, whose bridge was like the blade of a knife. Despite the pledgets on the eyes, it looked so spiritual, so well-nigh holy, as to make the meal and the chewing appear unfitting. Jacob was almost ashamed to watch the old man while he ate, as though he must feel ashamed to be watched. But it may be that the pledgets protected him. At all events, he chewed away very comfortably, his thin jaw moving up and down under the scanty beard, and as only the best parts of the kids were in the dish, he ate it all. "Give me to drink," he said then, and Jacob hastened to fetch the wine jug and hold it himself to the thirsty lips, Isaac's hands grasping it over his son's hairy ones. But as Jacob came thus close to his father, the old man smelled the nard in his hair and the fragrance of the flowers of the field in his garments. He turned away from the jug to say, "Truly, it is strangely deceiving how my son's festal garments smell sweet, like the fields and the meadows in the spring of the year, when the Lord hath sown them far and wide with blossoms for our delight." And with two thin fingertips he lifted one pledget, a very little, and said, "And thou art then verily Esau, my eldest son?" Jacob laughed in desperation, and asked in his turn, "Who then else?" "Then it is good," spake Isaac, and took a long draught, so that his Adam's apple went up and down under the beard. Then he commanded that water be poured over his hands. But when Jacob had done this and dried his hands, the father said, "So let it be." And mightily strengthened by the food and drink, flushed of face, he laid his hands upon the trembling and crouching Jacob to bless him with all his strength. And as his soul was strong from the meal he had taken, so were his words full of all the power and richness of the earth. Its fatness gave he him, and its voluptuousness like to a female's, and thereto the dew and the male water of the sky, gave him the fullness of the ploughland, tree and vine, and the rank fruitfulness of the flocks, and a double shearing in each year. He laid upon him the covenant, and gave him to bear the promise and the inheritance of that which had been founded throughout time. His words were high-sounding and flowed like a stream. He gave him the victory in the battle of the hemispheres, the light and the dark, and victory over the dragon of the waste. He called him the beautiful moon and bringer of the equinox, with laughter and the renewal of the year. He used the fixed phrase which Rebecca had muttered, the primitive phrase which was so old that it was already a mystery. It did not precisely fit the case, for here the brothers were only two, but Isaac uttered it solemnly above his head. "The children of his mother shall serve the bearer of the blessing, and all his brothers shall fall down at his anointed feet." Then he cried out three times the name of God, and said, "So be it, and so may it come to pass," and released Jacob out of his hands. Jacob rushed away to his mother, but shortly afterwards Esau came home with a young wild goat which he had shot, and matters became both comic and tragic. Jacob saw with his own eyes nothing of that which followed, nor had he any desire to, and kept himself hidden. But he knew all from hearsay, and remembered it as well as though he had been present. Esau came back still in the same high mood, knowing nothing, of course, of what had happened in the meantime, for he had not reached that stage in the tale. Puffed up with pride and self-esteem, with his bow in his hairy fist and the buck over his shoulder, he marched in triumph throwing out his legs and beaming darkly in all directions to see if his splendor and preferment were being observed. Still at some distance, he began to boast again, so loud and vaingloriously that it was both comic and painful for all who heard. And those who had seen Jacob go in unto the master in his skins and come out again all put their heads together, and likewise those who had not seen it. Only Esau's women and children drew not near, though he summoned them repeatedly to come and witness his greatness and his pride. The household ran together and laughed to see him throw out his legs and made a circle around him to see and hear what he did. For he began to skin his buck, as he continued to boast, dressed and cut it up, made a fire with kindlings, hung a kettle over it, and shouted out commands to the laughing watchers to bring him this and that of which he had need for the feast. "Ha-ha!" he cried, and "Ho-ho! Ye godly gapers, fetch me the great cook's fork, and bring me sour milk of the sheep, for he savors it best seethed in sheep's milk. And bring me salt from the salt mine, good-for-nothings and idlers, coriander and garlic, mint and mustard to tickle his palate, for I would cram him so that the strength breaks out at his pores. And bring me good solet bread to eat with the dish, and oil pounded from olives, and strain the wine, ye sluggards and slumberers, so that no yeast come in the jug, or may the white ass trample you. Run and fetch, for it is the feast of the feeding, and the blessing of Isaac, Esau's feast, the feast of the hero and son, whom the Lord hath sent to make him a meal, and whom he will bless within his tent in this hour." Thus he went on with mouth and hand, with ha-ha and ho-ho, with bombast and braggadocio, with windy boasting of his father's preference, and the great day come to the red skin, so that the folk of the household bent double and writhed with laughter and wept and held their sides. He went off with his dish, holding it high before him like the tabernacle, and throwing out his legs and prancing up to his father's tent. And they shrieked aloud, clapping and stamping their feet, and then were suddenly still, for Esau at the door of the tent was saying, "Here am I, my father. Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Is it his will that I come in?" Isaac's voice came forth, "Who is it that sayest I, and will come in to the blind man?" "Esau, thy hairy skin," answered he, "hath hunted and cooked for the strengthening, as thou commandest." "Thou fool and robber," the voice said, "why speakest thou falsehood in my sight? For Esau, my eldest, he was here long since, and gave me to eat and drink, and I have blessed him." Then Esau was so startled that he almost let everything fall, and he gave such a jump that he spilled the sour cream sauce all over him. His auditors roared with laughter. They wagged their heads feebly and wiped the water out of their eyes and shook it off. But Esau rushed into the tent without more asking, and there came a silence, while those outside covered their mouths with their hands and thrust their elbows into each other's ribs. But presently came a roar from inside, a perfectly incredible roar, and Esau burst out again, no longer red but purple in the face, with uplifted arms. "Curse it! Curse it! Curse it!" he shrieked at the top of his lungs, words we might use today on occasion of some trifling vexation, but at that time, and from the lips of Esau the Shaggy, it was a new cry, full of the original meaning, for he himself had really been cursed instead of blessed, solemnly betrayed, and made a mock of like no one before him in the eyes of the people. "Curse it!" he shrieked. "Betrayed! Betrayed! Betrayed!" And he sat himself down on the ground and howled with his tongue hanging out. His tears rolled down the size of hazelnuts, while the crowd stood round and laughed until they cried at this tremendous sell, the story of the hoaxing of Esau the Red.